Well, it is a joy to have you here tonight. Let me say, first of all, welcome. If this is your first time at Countryside, you've actually come on a night that happens once a year, our annual meeting. It's not a business meeting in the technical sense. If some of you grew up, as I did, in Southern Baptist churches, there are going to be no fights that will break out. At least, I don't believe that will happen. They're not going to be any of those interesting things that you're used to, but I think they're going to be another set of really interesting things as we rehearse the Lord's goodness and look at what He has accomplished over this last year. So we welcome you. If this is your first time here, I'll be up here in the front afterwards. I'd love to meet you. Come down. Some of the elders will be down here as well. We'd love to meet you after the service, but we are so grateful that you've come to worship with us this evening. Well, it is a joy to serve together with a group of men. There are 12 elders who serve in this church, and you're going to hear from some of them tonight, but I hope that by the time we're done, you will have a fresh appreciation, as I do, for the other men who serve with me and alongside of me. We all serve together as brothers, and it's amazing to see what the Lord does. I think you're going to be amazed as we sort of recount that history over the last year. We're going to begin by, I'm going to ask Brian Chandler, one of our elders, to come and read some scripture and pray for us. So, Brian, would you come?
Well, good evening. You still like this building? So do I. Paul was speaking to Timothy in these scriptures from 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. Paul says, I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I'm delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of truth. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful. We're so thankful to be part of your church, the household of God, which is the church of the living God. Lord, this is your church. Our prayer is that we do all things according to your word, according to your directions, according to the wisdom that you give us, that, Father, that the things we do in this church would accomplish the mission of the church, that, Lord, you would be exalted, that your name would be glorified, that your scripture would be taught accurately in order that the people in the church, in the pews, those of us that fill the pews might be equipped for the works of service here that you've given us to do. What a privilege it is, Lord, to be able to serve the living God. And we pray that, Lord, that continues in this church, that we're a unified body that continues to work in a way that accomplishes the things that, Lord, you are pleased with. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, one of the annual traditions now that we do each year is a video. And you may have seen Andrew Hale scurrying around. You may not have seen him. Sometimes he works way undercover. But what he's doing is he's been accumulating all of this information for this video through all the activities of this church throughout the year. What a great picture it is of what the conduct of the household of God should be when we look at this video. I hope it brings about praise in your soul as you see what this church has been up to and as we look at this video together.
Chapter 7 of Romans is one of the most helpful and the most comforting passages in all of Scripture. If you've been a Christian any time at all, you have found great comfort in the second half of Romans 7.
We're going to begin a study tonight of a letter about what is fitting or appropriate, not for our dress, but for our life.
That means at school, at work, at home, you must be faithful to live what you teach.
Because they need to see us living out our faith so that we can share the gospel with them and they can believe the message.
You know, it is amazing that this great and perfect and awesome God would care for us.
Right.
We've looked at Bible study and evangelism. We've looked at fellowship, prayer. We've looked at service. All of those things are necessary in the life of a church and the life of an individual. But this conference really brings us to the crown jewel, the one that stands out from among all the others, worship.
The purpose of the universe is to collect a redeemed humanity to take them to heaven to worship and praise God forever and ever.
You people, he says, you draw near to me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me.
So you ask the question, well, then how can they worship? What is worship for a person who is feeling the weight of the distress of soul?
You shall have no other gods before me. We should worship God. He should rule our hearts. He is what we value the most.
So much about concrete and steel. It's about having a place for us all to gather corporately to worship our God. It's about a place where we can come together and be equipped to do the work of service for the building up of the body of Christ. It's about making room for others. It's about strengthening ultimately our foundation here with the desire that we could then, in God's time, in the future, plant churches that are like-minded, of similar philosophy, across this city and wherever the Lord may choose. Lord, we dedicate this facility not to us, O Lord, but to the glory of your name.
Wasn't that wonderful? You know, the Bible mentions thankfulness more than 150 times. And I think it's time right now for us to be thankful in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we praise you and we give you thanks with all of our hearts for what you have accomplished over this past year. Father, we have taken this short time to review over this year, and we clearly see your divine hand. These are not our accomplishments. These are not our achievements, but these are what you have accomplished. Father, we praise you for your splendid and majestic work, for you are gracious and you are compassionate toward us, we being your people. We are so grateful to witness the power of your works. And we pray that we would be faithful to love and serve you as we look at this next year. And we pray all of these things in the name of our precious Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, I'm going to take us through the financial report. You know, the Lord Jesus said that he would build his church. And part of what that means is that he will provide for his church. And you're going to see that he has abundantly provided in the financial area, one of those areas that is really important, through the faithful giving of his people. Our fiscal year begins October, for those of you that don't know that. We are going to look at October through December, the first quarter. And I just want to say that we make projections on the year based on our attendance. And so we don't know. None of the elders know who gives what, and we don't know any of the individual giving. But we can take averages, and we make projections on the giving based on past years. And so we've done that, and then we also build based on the ministry needs. We build the expense side. In October and November, Tom gave an announcement that we were behind in our general fund. And it was not because people weren't giving, but we had been very generous in giving to some hurricane relief, and there was Hope House and other things throughout the year. And so people have been very generous, but we were running about $85,000 behind in the general fund, and he just asked us to refocus now on the general fund. Well, December was an amazing month. For a lot of reasons, but for the financial reasons as well. And not only did we meet the projections for December, but we caught up for the other 2 months as well, and we're actually $34,000 ahead. The income, just to give you the picture here, in the general fund, I'm going to cover the other funds in a second. The income, the actuals were $1.6 million for the quarter, and the budget was 1.566, so it's a difference of $34,000 that we're actually ahead a little bit. On the expense side, the actuals were $945.945 million, and the budget was 1.1, so we're under on our expense side, which is a good thing as well. I never get excited about that because that's usually a timing issue that we catch up on that later. So here's what our giving looks like for the last several years. And it corresponds, as I said, to the attendance. So from 2004 through 2017, we started out at about $20,000 a week. And now it's up to about $74,000 per week. These are the fund balances, and you can see the general fund. We started out at $638,000 in the end of September, which is the beginning of our fiscal year, and now we have $1.3 million. Some of that is the December giving is always much greater than the expenses for that month, and that's one of the reasons we decided to change our fiscal year from a calendar year to October through September, so we would have an idea in December what the giving was, because that's the biggest month. And so that's why there's an excess there in the general fund. The building fund, it shows a growth in that fund because we took out the final loan draw, and that's been paid now, the $571,000. So actually, it's $571,000 less than what you see there in January. And then there is the designated funds, and there are a number of funds, and I won't go through all the different funds, except to say that in the month of December, there were some extraordinary gifts, larger gifts of about $3 million. And so we have put that in a designated fund. I don't know that we've decided what to call that yet, but I'll call it a special projects fund that the elders will spend some time over the next several years, actually, determining what sort of ministries, or maybe we'll do some debt reduction. There are a lot of different possibilities. Capital replacement is another one. Now, let me show you just briefly what we've done the last several years. In 2010, we finished the children's building at $5.2 million. And then in 2012, we purchased land that would be for parking, and that was $1.2 million. And then this worship center is $11.5 million, which includes the parking. And so this is what the total costs are, is $17.9 million. That's a lot of money, and the Lord has been faithful to provide that money. And the congregational giving over that period of time was $9.5 million. And so we have a loan, a worship center loan, of $8.4 million at this point. The cap on that was $8.5 million. And we have built in, over the 2 or 3 years of building this building, we built in the payment on that loan. So it's a part of our general fund budget. Now, the elders would like to pay that off sooner than the term of the loan, and so there might be, probably will be some special offerings, not as many as we've been doing before, but periodically there might be a special offering. So the bottom line is that the Lord has graciously, abundantly provided the finances for this church. It's just an amazing thing to see, and he's done that through the faithful giving of all of you. And so praise the Lord for that.
Let's just go to our Lord in thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, we recognize that the situation that we are in is pretty remarkable. And we bow before you because we acknowledge that you are the one who provides all of our needs, and you've provided abundantly. And Lord, by your grace, that's allowed us to accomplish some very special things in the course of the ministry here, both locally and as well as across the this planet. And Lord, as we consider the resources you've recently provided, we realize with those resources comes great responsibility. So we would pray for our elders, God, that you might give them wisdom to be able to use every resource in a way that would accomplish the purposes that would most exalt your holy name. And Lord, even in our planning, we are reminded in your word, it says the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And so, God, even as we plan, we trust and would seek your wisdom so that each decision would be pleasing to you. Lord, again, we just thank you. We thank you for your incredible abundance, your grace, and the provision that you've given to us in Christ Jesus. And we love you in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, amen. Really encouraging, isn't it, to see the Lord's faithfulness? And that's really where I want to go from here. I want to do two things in the minutes ahead, And that is, I want to sort of give you some snapshots from this past year, some yardsticks that sort of help you see where we are as a church. And again, this is, as you've heard again and again, and we won't get tired of saying it, this is not something that I or any group of men, the elders, have done. This is something the Lord has done, and we rejoice in His goodness. But at the same time, we want you to know sort of where we are in the ministry and life of the church. I want to start, as I really began this evening, by thanking the Lord for the men God has placed here in leadership. There are 12 elders. Not all of them, without keeping you extra long tonight, can participate in this service. But I know that you appreciate them and pray for them. You know many of them. If you're newer to our church, go to our website. On the website, you'll find our leadership, and you'll find pictures and names so you can connect them, and you can pray for us as well as you see us around. Stop us and introduce yourself. But I'm so grateful for the men the Lord has raised up here in leadership as elders. In addition, we have 13 deacons who serve, and they lead ministries of various kinds here in the life of the church. And again, these men are on the website. You can go there and find them. One of these men was added this last year, and that's Joe Garcia, a new deacon in 2017. We thank the Lord for continuing to add leaders to His church. I want to also look at worship, just to give you some idea of what happens on the Lord's Day around here. Of course, the nearest and dearest thing to my heart is the teaching of God's Word, both in the morning and the evening services as we gather together. This last year, believe it or not, we covered almost 3 chapters in Romans. I know some of you didn't think we made that far, but we did. We started the year in the middle of chapter 4, and we finished the year in the middle of chapter 7. And so a great journey. As I said, you heard in the video, I really believe that. And several of you came up to me even this morning saying that you had never heard anyone preach through that section of Romans, and what an encouragement it was to you, as it is to me. So I thank the Lord for that journey. In addition, this summer I took just a little break to deal with the 3 deadliest sins. And of course, you saw the guest speakers that we had as well. In the evening, Rocky and I are continuing during the school year to deal with the Anchored series. We went through Old and New Testament survey and several areas of theology this past year. And then, of course, we enjoyed the summer series with Dusty, Jonathan, and Justin covering the book of Titus, a real blessing to our church. That's what we studied. And here's the average attendance, the weekly average attendance, through the years. You can see going back to 2004, 2005, and the Lord just continues to gradually and slowly add to His church, and we're grateful for His goodness. We don't take that for granted. We know, and I remind the elders all the time, that what we do here as a church is unusual. Not a lot of churches are doing this. It's what the church has done for 2,000 years, but there are a lot of churches that aren't doing it. And so we know that at some point, we will sort of reach a point of saturation for our area. And when that happens, that's in the Lord's purpose. But as you can see, that hasn't happened yet. And we're grateful for the ones the Lord adds to the church, both through salvation and through those who find us from, in some cases, desperate church situations. In addition to those who attend, we have seen a growing number of people who join us via streaming from all over the world, who join in live to our services. I think the average, and I'm guessing this, I don't have this here in front of me, but it's sort of piecing together what I see week in and week out in the report that's given me, I think about 400 to 500 people on a given Sunday join us via live streaming, in addition to those that are here. And as you can see, they're from all over the world, 32 countries. And 23,000 hours streamed. I think the peak in February, in fact, I'm confident the peak in February was when John MacArthur and Alistair Begg were here. And so we're grateful for the impact of the conference. This is the Sunday morning adult ministries, just to give you a snapshot. Now, this slide is a little confusing because obviously, last year was the year we switched mid-year from 3 services to 2. So some of the math might be a little confusing, but it'll give you a snapshot. You can see the average in the worship center. In addition, you can see The next to last column gives you the number of people that on average attend Sunday school, adult Sunday school here on a Sunday morning. And that's very encouraging. 500 people are in our adult Sunday schools on average on a given Sunday morning. This is the maximum attendance. Obviously, you have Easter as far as the worship center, and then with special events, the Sunday school totals were 847 for the maximum attendance. So that just gives you a little snapshot of what happens around here on Sunday morning. Let me go into some specific ministries. You saw a few pictures of our nursery, but this is staggering to me. This is nursery now. We're not talking about all the kids. Nursery on a Sunday morning averages 130 children and 75 workers. And we added 33 to our nursery last year. So really astounding, amazing growth in that part of the ministry of the church. And that really is the future of the church. I rejoice in the number of young families that attend our church and are part of it. As far as children 3+, here you get a glimpse of that. You can see in Sunday school, we have about 300 kids on a Sunday morning with 86 volunteers. Awana, now, you know, we gather here on a Sunday night, and this has been true since I came. Awana has always been on Sunday night during the evening service. We meet here, but here is what happens in the other building. On average, 334 kids are over there in the other building, and 114 adults serving them and directing them. So really, a staggering ministry on Sunday nights in our children's ministry. Of course, our children's choir continues to be, as you saw even on the slides and heard them, a real blessing to our church family as well. Our students, our middle school, we average about 78. The cross culture averages about 77. And of course, the numbers vary from Wednesday night to Sunday morning. They're differing numbers. And then our college ministry, about 42. A lot of our college students go off, but there are some who stay here, and it's a joy to minister to them. Looking at some of the life stage ministries in the adult area, our 128 ministry, you can see, is flourishing and continues to grow, I think sort of busting the boundaries of their facility, the home where they meet. And then you can see our young marrieds and young families, our singles, 40+, and then another group that's just really growing by leaps and bounds is the Heritage Fellowship, our seniors, 115 on average, participating in the events that they have. And we're grateful for that. Also, you heard earlier a little bit about the partners' one-on-one discipleship. Now, that ministry is in its third full year, using a discipleship curriculum written by Mike Fabares. It's really excellent. The Lord just orchestrated that. Dwight Custis, one of our elders, was actually out visiting his family in California, visiting Mike's church, who's a friend of this church, and saw that curriculum and brought a copy back and gave it to me. I read through it, and then the elders talked about it together and decided this would be a great thing for us to do, and the Lord has really blessed that ministry. Terry Tyler provides leadership for it, and in 2017, 105 completed the Partners Program, bringing the total to 334 to date who have completed that program. 44 new leaders were trained. In addition, our home fellowships is another significant outreach of this church. Rich Dewey, one of our elders, writes the curriculum. You can see what they've been studying, and now 17 home fellowships across the Metroplex in 12 communities, 2 languages. And the numbers there vary in terms of attendance because we have such a transient area and so many people traveling, but it's a significant ministry to those who are a part of that. Missions. I can't even begin to tell you. I had 2 pages of notes from which to draw. I'm just going to give you a couple of highlights here. We added, if you haven't seen the missions display here in this building, I encourage you, even after this service, you'll find out here on this corner, go out this main exit, and just around the corner there is a display with our missionaries where you can know who they are and pray for them, and that's a great blessing. Of course, this last year we lost Matt Dodd to cancer. We are continuing to support his wife Cameron and their children during their transition, and We'll continue to look after them as they make the transition, see what the Lord has for them ahead. In response to that, you remember the Lord raised up Ryan and Elna Mitchell. We introduced them to you. They will go and serve on that field where the Dodds were in Papua New Guinea and in that village. And so you pray for them as they are soon to arrive there in the area and begin the language training and all that's involved in that. A change of field for Cornelius and Angelique Gray to France, where they'll be ministering to Muslims, and also for Joe and Christy Swanson. They'll be church planting in Central Asia, because this is searchable on the internet. I'm not going to put where they're going, but you saw it on the presentation earlier where it was safer to put that. Also, this past year, it was my joy to go on our behalf as a church and help launch a new pastoral training center in the Middle East. And the conference was back in September, but the classes began in January, and they had hoped to start with six men as six pastors to train them to do expositional preaching, and the Lord gave them 10 young guys. That is really the future of ministry in that great country and in that part of the world. So you pray the Lord will bless the training that's going on there. As of February, as of now, we have 15 missionary families in 12 countries. Earlier you saw mention of the Master's Seminary. We started our second cohort in the fall of 2017. We have six full-time students. We had eight. One of them decided he wanted to move to L.A. and be a part of the main campus, and we're happy for that. We think at some point he may be back, but that's the Lord's purpose. And then one of them who was involved in a local church was moved down to South Texas, and so he's not able to be involved, but continuing his training online and may eventually be back as well. We'll begin a third cohort in the fall of 2018. So we're excited about how the Lord continues to build that and the impact that we can have. Some things that happened here on the campus, just improvements. You've seen some of them you haven't. We had to replace our roofs because of a hailstorm to the chapel, the north and south building, as well as the fellowship hall. The chapel, the actual room where we used to meet for worship, has been remodeled to create a large Sunday school classroom, and many of you have used that space, and it's continuing to be refined with the sound mufflers that help control the sound in that room and some other things along the way. In addition, we are currently building out office and additional meeting spaces in that building, so some continuing remodeling there. And of course, we purchased the chairs and tables necessary for that large room. Also, we began, in the interest of saving the church's money, the Lord's money, we began LED lighting retrofit, and we relocated the library and the bookstore to the South Building, where I know many of you have enjoyed it already, and initiated a capital project plan to replace aging building systems. A great blessing to our church was when Steve Armstrong came on our church staff, and he's really spearheaded that and helped us make sure that we're ahead of that and not behind that in the years ahead. In addition, we added some handicapped parking places across the campus. I know some of you have mentioned you've benefited from those. And we added some speed bumps to slow things down, as well as a crosswalk on the west side of the children's building and going to the new parking lot as well. Now, let's transition. That's just a little update. You saw a lot of them on the video. But let's transition to this year as we look ahead. I just want to give you a couple of things to look forward to as we anticipate. And again, I have to start here with worship in the Word in our corporate worship. This is a bit of a bold, ambitious plan, but I'm looking at Romans 8 through 10 this year. So we will cover some amazing chapters. I love Romans chapter 8 is perhaps my favorite chapter in all the Bible, and one of the most helpful and encouraging chapters there is. And then, of course, we go to chapter 9 and to election, right? Which is a big question a lot of people have. And how do you reconcile all of that? And then chapter 10. So look forward to that. I'm thinking this summer that I might do a very short series on Psalm 19, just focusing on the Lord's revelation in creation as well as specifically and specially in His Word. In the evening, we'll look forward to the summer series. The guys are still deciding what it is they're going to do this summer, but that'll be forthcoming. And then Rocky and I We'll continue in the Anchorage series through the spring. And then this fall, I encourage you to plan to be with us. We'll get to one of the most anticipated topics, I think, and that's the doctrine of salvation, soteriology. We'll talk about everything from Calvinism versus Arminianism to how does salvation unfold in an individual life? What does God do? What does he accomplish? And where does all of that lead? So I'm very excited about that as we look forward to the future. Of course, also this year, we have coming up very quickly, February 16 to 18, just this week, our Marriage and Singleness Conference. And I'm looking forward to having these men speak to all of us. And then, by the way, you need to know that I had nothing to do with the invitation to my wife. That was the conference committee. They asked her if she would do that to the ladies here, and she's excited to do that. And I'm excited for her to do that as well. But that will be coming up this next week. Now, as we look to next year, so I'm giving you a little bit. This is kind of out of 18. This is to 19. We have already asked, and he has agreed to come, Ted Tripp. We're going to focus on the next generation. This won't just be about parenting. So if you're not a parent, understand that we're going to again look at making sure that as a church we're covered here by this great theme of the next generation. So everything from parenting, which obviously will be a huge focus with as many young families and parents as we have, but grandparenting, mentoring. If you're not a parent or a grandparent, you still have a role. And teaching and serving the next generation in the ministry of the church. This is a mission God has given every single one of us. And so we want to look at that because, you know, I think you understand this. The next generation is often lost in those student years. And we want to do everything we can to counteract that, both in terms of parenting as well as how we function as a church. Also, this year you'll hear more about this, but the elders have approved our investigating. This isn't done yet, but we're beginning to investigate the possibility of a trip to Israel by our church family, those who want to go, in 2019. So again, I'll begin, Lord willing, within the next couple of weeks investigating that. And as details become available, we'll pull together an interest meeting and would love to have you participate. That's all I really can tell you at this point, except we're excited about that. I know that there are many in our church who've expressed an interest in doing that. Now, you saw the completion of the Worship Center project on the video. Of course, we're sitting here enjoying this wonderful facility. I just want to remind you, though, how it fits into the larger picture. When we were involved in the Worship Center project, we said that it really was a plan to accommodate long-term growth, but it was part of a larger plan to maximize our ministry as a church of the gospel. We wanted to build a worship center that fit our campus, that maximized the ground here, the campus that God has given us. We wanted to make sure that we maintain a strong home church here with two services in this building. It maximum would be about 2,000 people. And then beyond that, we wanted to plant like-minded churches across the Metroplex. Because as you know, there are so few churches that are simply doing what the church has always done. And so that has remained a goal of ours and a mission of ours. And so on behalf of the elders, I just want to update you on that. Discussions and strategic planning are ongoing with the elders. In fact, a good portion of our retreat this year was given to, or last year rather, was given to this issue. The timing of the church plan and the location are still undetermined. They're not just not being announced, they're undetermined. More details will likely come in late 2018 or early 2019. One detail, however, has been established, if the Lord wills. This is at least our plan at this point. When we started this, we sort of opened it up to those men on staff. Of course, our understanding is many of them will ultimately want to serve as pastor teachers in their own congregation, and we open it up for them to pray and think about this. And Dusty Burris, he and his wife Rebecca have decided that in the Lord's will and purpose, if this all unfolds, they would love to do that. So time, we don't know. Place, we don't yet know. Those discussions are ongoing. But we do believe we know who will lead that plant when the time comes. So those are just a few of the things that are coming in the year ahead. And so we just need to rehearse and remember God's faithfulness to us, don't we? He will be as faithful in the year ahead as he has in the year behind us. And our Lord promised that he would build his church. And how would he build his church? Well, obviously, he saves those whom he saves. But then he works in and through the mission of the church. This Shepherd's Conference coming up in just a few weeks, they've asked me to preach a sermon on the mission of the church with an emphasis on one aspect of that mission. I think you understand that the mission of the church is threefold. There is a mission of the church to God. What is our mission to God? It is worship. And it is, as you heard Brian read earlier, it is to be a pillar and support of the truth, to guard and protect the treasure of the truth and pass it on to the next generation. That's our mission toward God. But the church also has a mission to itself, and that is to edify one another, to love and care for one another, to serve one another. In addition, the church has a mission to the world, and that is evangelization. It is global missions. It is outreach. It is impacting our community and beyond for the gospel. That's how Christ builds his church, through those three points of mission: upward, inward, and outward. And that's how he will do that in the year ahead, as we are faithful to fill the role he's given to us. Well, there's just one more thing to do before we finish tonight, and that is to express our thanks. I am grateful for all of the elders and their service on our elder board, but I can tell you that year in and year out, I am so grateful for the man who serves as the chairman of our elder board. There is a lot of time and a lot of work, countless hours involved in serving in that role. And all of our men serve exemplary. You just need to know, I am so grateful to serve alongside these men. This past year, the chairman of our elder board was Daryl Bennett. And I am so grateful for his service, not only because he did so, as he always does, with exemplary leadership, with love and concern and care for the body, for you and for us as an elder board, but it was especially meaningful to me because he wanted to serve in that role in spite of the struggles that I know you know that he has physically and has been battling through. He wanted to serve Christ and his church. And so, brother, there's no way we can adequately thank you for your ministry to us as an elder board or to us as a church. This is just a little reminder that we love you and thank God for you. Let's thank Daryl together.
Brother, we love you.
It's a pleasure to serve.
He and I were talking before the service. One of the highlights of the year for me is I get to take the chairman of the elder board out for lunch at least once a month. And that's a highlight, and I enjoyed the fellowship with you as always. And I told him, I still eat lunch, as you can all tell, so we can keep doing that. We can keep doing that. We don't have to wait till the next time you serve as chairman. Well, it is also my joy as we finish tonight to introduce to you Tom Beswick, who will serve as our chairman in the year ahead. Tom has already begun in January and will serve through this year as the chairman of our elder board. I'm going to ask him to come and make whatever comments he'd like, and then lead us in prayer, and then Seth will come and close us with a song.
Tom's two lunches behind with me. No pressure, but it is February. You know, it's amazing to see what God has done, and it's amazing to us in leadership to see the changes in the church every year. Not the least of which this past year was this building. But, you know, there are core values that this church will never change. And through this next year, we're just going to maintain that high value, that high view of Scripture. And we're going to maintain that commitment to preaching the truth and teaching the truth from the pulpit and in our Sunday school classes. We're going to commit again, recommit to ministering to each member of this body. These are things that don't change. And these are things that don't change because the God we serve doesn't change. In Malachi 3:6, God issued a very simple statement that said, I am God, I don't change. And it's important, it is captivating to think in a world of change that we are privileged to serve a God who does not change. So if you'll go to the Lord in prayer with me, after I pray, Seth will come and close us. And Lord God, we thank you that in a world that changes, you do not change. And in these times, Lord, where your word is countercultural, you still call on us to be faithful and not change. And Lord, we thank you for what you've done through us and through this church in the past year. And Lord, we look forward to what you have in store for us. And while we do not know the changes and the challenges that we'll face, we know the God we follow. We know the God we obey. And we go forward in confidence. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, may we be good and faithful servants in our individual lives and in our corporate lives to your honor and glory. And we pray this in your name.